Happy Father's Day to all those handsome dudes out there who are fathers. Like our brother said, you want to enjoy it today because it only comes around once a year. Happy Father's Day. And we were thinking about, our brother just mentioned our Father in heaven. And one verse in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that a promise from the Lord? Yes, it is. He is our Heavenly Father, and He will never leave you the moment you are His. I pray that everyone here this morning is a child of God. We're going to look this morning at a bunch of words or a bunch of scriptures, and they're going to see in every one of them the word place, P-L-A-C-E. This is a place that you came this morning to hear the Word of God. I want you to turn to Job chapter 28. Place, the word place. And the first word, place we're going to look at is a place, a principal place. Secondly, we're going to look at a predestined place. Then we're going to look at a personal place. Then a protective place. Then a prepared place. And lastly, a penal place or a place of punishment for those who do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. First place, Job chapter 28, and we'll read in at verse 12. Listen to the words as we read it. But where shall wisdom be found? Good question, isn't it? And where is the place of understanding? Let's look at verse 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, that is, of wisdom and understanding, neither is it found in the land of the living. Down to verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof, that is, of understanding and of and wisdom. And verse 28, and unto man He saith, that is, God saith, behold, that is to put your mind to, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, in this day and age, we have lots of young people, and every one of us, we encourage them to go to a university, Harvard, UMB, all these places, and they're places of learning, understanding, and hopefully someday those people will use it for wisdom in their life. And I have absolutely nothing bad to say about wisdom or learning or understanding. We all need it as far as living, making a living in this world goes. But we're talking about something different in these verses. We're talking about a heavenly wisdom. Because, my friend, all the wisdom and understanding that you learn in this world is only for time. And how long do you have to live in this world? You don't know. I don't know how long I have to live. The wisdom that we're talking about, the understanding, is eternal wisdom. It's divine wisdom. And it's going to be something that you learn that's going to, you're investing for eternity, my friend. And that is in the Word of God. And umpteen dozen times I've said B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. And why do not people read the Bible? But they'll go everywhere else for understanding, for people's opinions, for people's philosophies. And God says, you know what? I know where there's wisdom. I know the place. I know the source. Have you ever been there? This is the principal place. That's in verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Can you give me an answer to that? Is it in a university? A college? Under the tutelage of some bright, brilliant person? Is that what's going to count for all eternity? And I implore you, young people, yes, go to school. Get an education. But my word says this, the Bible says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of who? God. That is where wisdom comes from. If you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, listen to what it says. We see the fear of the Lord is mentioned 8 times in Proverbs. This particular verse says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Is that a very important verse? The beginning, or the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, Holy One, is understanding. What is the fear of the Lord? Does that mean that we need to be crawling around, hiding under trees, everything because we're scared that the Lord is going to zap us the moment we do something wrong? No. The fear of the Lord is reverential respect. That is to have reverence and respect for who God is. And my friend, the world today has lost that. And some of us Christians have been losing it too. A fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, starting place. And God knows the place of understanding. What is wisdom? If you look it up in the dictionary, it's the ability to use knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. It means sound judgment. What is understanding? It means to comprehend. It means to realize. It means to believe. It means to accept. And what God is talking about, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about being saved for all eternity. He's talking about something that's going to make it good for you for all eternity. And that's what God, that's what is important to God. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 24, look what it says. These are not my words, my friends. These are in the Word of God for every single one of us. Look what it says in verse 24. But let him or her that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Understanding and knowledge. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You can say, come down here, I heard Brian Taylor telling me all about this stuff. I need to know more about the Lord. It's not what I said. It's what the Lord says. And the Word of God is black and white. Any one of us can read it. And my message to you is this morning is it's very, very important to learn to know about the Lord, to learn about eternity, my friend, because every single one of us, maybe even today, time is going to end, and eternity is going to begin. And my friend, is what you do for the Lord is what's going to count for all eternity, not what we do down here. Yes, it is important for us to do a good job down here, to learn. God has given us a mind that we can learn, we can absorb things, especially when you're young. You can remember things. And yet, even in the Word of God, he says to read the Word of God. He says to meditate upon the Word of God. He says to memorize the Word of God. He says to share the Word of God. Are we doing that? Or are we so focused on all the things of the world, we forget about God? And we know what some of the people in the Word of God happened to them, those who forgot about God, forgot about time, forgot about eternity, forgot about others. You can go to Luke's Gospel chapter 16. We may even go there today. He speaks about a man who lifted up his eyes in hell. In Luke chapter 12, God called a man there a fool who forgot about him, forgot about others, forgot about time, forgot about eternity. I hope he never, and pray that he never calls anyone in this midst today a fool. A fool is someone who thinks and acts unwisely. We're talking about wisdom today. We're talking about understanding. We're talking about knowledge. It's a principal place, and God knows where it is. And if you went over to the book of James, we don't have time there. It speaks about 2 different kinds of wisdom. It speaks about earthly wisdom. Chapter 3 of James, read it when you go home. Earthly wisdom is sensual and devilish and everything else. And then it speaks about heavenly wisdom, which is pure, gentle, easy to be entreated, and all those things. And that's the wisdom we're talking about this morning. That's the wisdom God wants you to know about. He wants you to know about Him, about His Son, and how to live a life pleasing to Him. Let's go on to our next one, predestined place. Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. Predestined place. The word predestined means ordained by divine will. We're going to read about a place called Calvary. In the Greek, it means Skull Hill. It's called Golgotha in Hebrew. Same thing. Skull Hill, or hill, place of a skull. Luke chapter 23. This is speaking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. And if you read the Word of God, you will learn about why God sent His Son to this world. He didn't send Him to this world to be a nativity scene. He sent Him into this world with a purpose. First of all, to please Him. Secondly, in fulfilling that purpose, He was making a provision for you and for me. He was dying in our place, because way back in Genesis, the first man that God made, God's put a tree there called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, Adam, in the day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And God meant what He said. And God means what He says today. And what happened? We know what happened in Genesis 3. The woman took of that fruit, deceived by the devil, by the serpent. She took of that fruit and she gave it to her husband. And from that point on, God said, thou shalt surely die. In the Bible, death speaks of separation. Even physically, when someone dies, it speaks of separation. Someone is not there anymore. They're at a place. They're not in a rightful place. At the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, God drove the man and woman out of the garden that He made for them. Why? Because they sinned, because they disobeyed. Then they started having children, and every child that was born from that point on was born in sin, born separated from God. That is why Jesus Christ went to the cross, so that He could bring man and a holy God back together. In Timothy, he says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's who we're talking about. A mediator, we know what that is. Someone who is a go-between. Someone who can bring two parties who are at enmity back together again. He can reach up to a holy God. He could reach down to a simple man at the place called Calvary, and He could bring them back, those people who would confess their sins and believe that He died for their sins. And He was the only one who could do that. Why? Because He was God and He became man. He was sinless, and yet He died for the sinful. And He could bring man and God back together. That is what we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Look at reading in at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors, or two other thieves, led with Him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, a designated area, there was only one Calvary. This was the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was to die, outside of the city limits of Jerusalem, outside the gates of Jerusalem, on a hill called Golgotha, on the hill called Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. In between two thieves, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never, ever, ever sinned, could never sin, and will never sin, He died for someone's sins. Who were they? And that's what we're talking about, wisdom. That's what God wants to get you to the point to. He wants you to get to the place and say, why was that man dying? Just like one of the thieves said. Why is this man dying? He hasn't done anything amiss. He's only been healing people. He's been walking on the water. He's feeding 5,000 people with two fishes, five loaves. A man who couldn't see, He gave him sight again. Didn't even have eye sockets. The lame were walking. This man was hanging on the center cross. Why was he there? And that's where God wants to bring you to. He wants you to ask that question. Where will wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look at the cross. Behold it. Stop. Pay attention. Investigate. What is that man doing on the cross of Calvary? And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there, that is the place. They, that is the people. Crucified, that is the punishment. There they crucified him, that is the person who died in your stead. Have you ever come to a place where you realize that? Have you ever come to a place where you know that? Where you understand that? This morning, just a little earlier, we come at 9:30 to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we do that? Because he was the one who died for me. I don't fully understand it, but I read it in God's word. And I believe it. I have accepted that. And my friend, that is my ticket into God's heaven. And that's what saves me. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. In 1982, one evening, I bowed my knee before the Lord. And I said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Just like you said, I am. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven of my sins. Because you know what? They keep coming up, those sins. And I feel evil. I feel dirty. I'm not getting better. And I'll never get into your heaven if I don't confess my sins. He says, he that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. And that night I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I see him? No. By faith I accepted him as my Savior. And my friends, I take God at his word. God promised it. That settled it. And I believed it. And I still do today. 30 years later, my friends, I'm still saved. I have a place in heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will never be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me. I opened the door by faith. I said, Lord, please save me. We already read two verses this morning. For by grace are you saved through faith. God's grace saves us. The only way any person in this world can be saved is through God's grace. God given to us something we do not deserve. God's riches at Christ's expense. And God gave that to me that evening. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. Through faith. That was the door that opened me to get into the good of his grace. Not by works of righteousness. Not by anything I could do. Not by being a goody good. Not by nothing. God saved me that night because I believed in this verse. When they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. I realized that this man who was hanging on the center cross was dying in my place. Just like the thief on one side of him said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We must go on to the next one. Personal place, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. This is a story about a tax collector, someone who was hated by the people. Because in those days, the Roman government, they hired people, if you will, to collect their taxes. And these taxes in most cases, tax collectors in most cases were corrupt. They always collected more than what they should. And so they became very, very wealthy, very rich. But they were also despised by the people. They were hated by the people. Let's read chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans or tax collectors. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. And that is a very important verse. He sought to see Jesus. Who he was. And he could not for the press or the crowd, the people that were around him, because he was little of stature. He was a short little man. He couldn't see over the people. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, see the word? Place. He came to that designated place, the personal place, and you may be here this morning for the first time, or you may have been invited, but you're in a place where God wants to meet with you, personally with you. You may say, I don't know, I never seen him, I never heard of him. Do you know how God speaks to us? By creation. Beautiful out there now. What about your conscience? What about circumstances in your life? And what about his calling you by the Spirit of God? Because we're going to see in this very passage, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never met Zacchaeus before in his life, nor did Zacchaeus meet him, heard about him, he calls him by name. You know what? The Lord is calling you by name too, whether you know it or not. And if he hasn't done it today, he has done it before. What did he do way back in Genesis after Adam and Eve sinned? You know where they went? They went hiding in the trees after they sinned. The Lord came walking in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where art thou? You know what he was calling me for 31 years? Brian, where are you? Did he know where I was? He sure did. Every second of those 31 years, he knew where I was. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Here we see a man who came to see Jesus, and he ran before. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. What if he didn't come down? And there's a lot of people that don't. In this case, Zacchaeus made haste and he came down. And he what? He received him joyfully. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, For as many as received him, to them gave he the authority or power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you ever read that verse? Does God mean what he says? Or is he just joking us? And he received them joyfully. And when they saw it, that is the people, who hated him, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Guess what? God only saves sinners. That is another place you must take. You can't say, I'm a lovely person. Better than that guy over there or her down there. God didn't come to save those people. He came to save sinners. Those who come and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know it. I feel it. I do it. Please forgive me my sins. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins. His blood will cleanse me from all my sin. I believe that. And I accept him as my Savior, as my Lord, as my good shepherd, as my advocate, as my Redeemer. I receive him and I want him to come into my life and I want him to lead me all the way home. He came down. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that this was he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, here we see him, repentance, my friends. We need to do that, don't we? Repentance means to have a Godward change of mind, to agree with God against yourself, to say, Lord, I am the one who was wrong. You are the one who is right. Please forgive me. He said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man, and he already knew that he had done that, by false accusations I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is what? Salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I realized that in 1982. Jesus Christ came into this world to seek, to look for, and to save that which was lost. And I was lost. I was at a place. I was not a child of God. I was a child of darkness. I was a child of the devil. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Go to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, the prodigal son. He was at a place until he returned home. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to return back to him. Personal place. And my friends, every single one of us have to come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be visited by the Lord. We have to visit him. And my friends, in this story, we see a seeking sinner and we see a seeking Savior. And when the two of them come together, there will always be salvation. The thing is to get people to seek the Lord. This man, it didn't matter about the crowd, the people around him. And you know what? People will stop you. They will block you. They will trip you up. They will discourage you. They will keep you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you have to have the determination, get around them and get up a tree and see the Lord Jesus Christ, because I want to see him. And I want to know who he is. That is wisdom and that is knowledge. personal place. Quickly to Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. Do you want to be protected? Do you want to have protection for the rest of your life and for all eternity? Look what it says in Isaiah 32 and verse 2. And a man, that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember we said? One God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And a man shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a cupboard or a covering for the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We already mentioned the verse in Hebrews chapter 13. For I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Guess who that promise is for? For those who are saved. Those who are a child of God. Those who have come out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is for you. And my friends, I know that He will never leave me. Paul would say, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul knew Him. Do you know Him? Or sometimes you get up with doubts and weary mind and say, you know, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I didn't ask with enough faith. Maybe I didn't say the right words. Well, probably, maybe you're not reading your Bible. And probably you're not praying. And probably you're not being with other Christians. Because the moment we get saved, we need to grow, don't we? God wants us to become from a child of God to a man of God and a woman of God. And from a child to a man and a woman, there's development. We know that physically. And God wants us to continue reading. You can't grow physically unless you eat. You can't grow spiritually unless you read. Man shall not live by bread alone. And my friends, that's how you get encouragement. That's how you grow. And the moment you ask the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how much faith you had, as long as you believed that He saved you from your sins. That is your personal time that you had with the Lord. Protective place, He will protect you no matter what, if you are a child of God. Quickly to John chapter 14. Verses 1 to 6. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking to His disciples. That is people who are saved. People who are going to be in heaven. He says this, let not your heart be troubled. He was going to be leaving them. He was going to go to Calvary's cross to die for them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. That is Jesus Christ. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. Did He mean what He said? He sure did. And He could come today for those who are saved. It's what we call the rapture. And there's absolutely nothing in the Word of God that needs to happen before that event. Are you ready? Because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Are you prepared? Prepared place. And for almost 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has been in heaven, preparing places with people's names on them. Do you have a place there? You only have a place there if you're saved. You only have a place there if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a place there only if some time in your life you had a personal time with the Lord. And you said, Lord, today I want to be saved. Tonight I want to be saved. I want to be in Your heaven. Will You forgive me of my sins? We don't even have to say, will You? Because He says He will. I want to be forgiven. I want to come into the good of Your cross work. When You died on Calvary's cross, that blood was shed. When it was shed for me, I want to be cleansed. Save me. I believe that You died for my sins. Forgive me. Save me from my sins. God will save you that moment, if you'll believe it. Well, it's hard to believe. Yes, it is. Because Satan and everyone else around us try to keep us from believing. And God doesn't ask us to behave, I said that before, to be goody-goods. He asks us to believe. You get that? He doesn't ask us to be good, keep the golden rule, to read and pray and whatever. He asks us to believe, and to believe every word that's in the Word of God. And believe when God says something, we can bank our lives on His promises. And the Bible is full of promises. Do you believe it? Prepared place for prepared people. In that same chapter in verse 6, it says, I am the way, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples. One of them asked, how can we know the way? How can we get to heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, that is generic, no man, no woman, no young person, cometh unto the Father, that is God, but through me. What did He mean by that? Only by the way of the cross. My friend, every single one of us must stand at the foot of that cross, and we must behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We must ask, what is He doing here? We must realize that He was dying for our sins. We must understand it. We must use that wisdom and ask Jesus Christ to save us. Have you done that? Because if you want to live for all eternity in the presence of God, you must do that. Because you will never get into God's heaven by religion, your philosophy, someone's opinion. That is the only way you'll get into God's heaven. Like a brother was preaching once, and a man came along and he said, how do I know that you're preaching the truth? All the different religions in the world. And the old brother said, you know what? There's only two ways, two thoughts in this world. The people who think that they can get into God's heaven by themselves, their own way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. It doesn't matter if you're Catholicism, Protestantism, Mormonism. It doesn't matter, my friends. If you don't think you're going to get into God's heaven God's way, you're not going to get there. There's over thousands of religions in this world today. Most of them believe this: I can get into God's heaven my way. Christianity, true Christianity, to be born again, believes that you cannot get into God's heaven without a Savior. Only two kinds of belief. One that believes you don't need a Savior, you can get there yourself. And the other, you need a Savior to get into God's heaven. What do you believe? Prepared place, I'm going to need to go one more real quick. Penal place for those who say, no, I don't need a Savior. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that's just all a bunch of crock. I don't believe it. And if I want to get into God's heaven, I'll get there myself. Do you ever stop to think how foolish that sounds? God, creator, sustainer of life, and you're going to say, if I want to get into your heaven, I'm going to get in there my way. That is foolishness, isn't it? Think about it. And God says, by His Son, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And people are arguing every day. That's not true. Isaiah 26 and verse 21, it says this, for behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And you say, well, how can a God, a loving God, send anyone to hell? Do you know what sends you to hell? Your sin, not God. God has made provision for you. He has provided a way for you. He wants you to be in heaven. It says in the Old Testament, God has absolutely no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Absolutely no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But He wants all to come unto Him, to repent of their sins, and to be saved. We don't have time to go there, but if you went to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, read it when you go home. That is the man who lifted up his eyes in hell. And you'll read that little story and those verses. You'll read that he lifted up his eyes in hell, and four times he says, this is a place of torment. I'll read you one of the verses in there. He says this to Abraham, suggesting that the beggar who sat at his driveway would do this. He said, for I have five brothers, please send them that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And we have Hundreds of people saying, you know what, I'm going to go to hell, and I know it. I'm taking all my friends there, and we're going to have a blast. You believe that, my friend? You need to give your head a shake. You went to Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, we see there Judas. Remember Judas? One who spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus? He betrayed him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. In that verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, he went to his own place. There's a private place. Where was that place? Hell. In a place of torment. God has made provision for you. He has a place prepared for prepared people. It is also a penal place, a place of punishment for those who reject him. I pray that no one here today will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The principal place is God. Predestined place is Calvary. Personal place is you meeting with the Lord. Protective place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepared place is place called heaven. And a penal place is for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Our Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for loving us. We thank Thee for Thy Word that is black and white and, Father, true. Not hard for anyone to understand if we read it and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we pray the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts even today for saint and sinner alike. Partners with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.